This is Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, the official luxury automobile of the New York Giants. Well, it was your typical brass-knuckle, smash-mouth football game between the Giants and the Redskins, the 169th meeting between these two hated rivals. Points were at a premium in the first half, but it was the Redskins who prevailed 20-10. As I bring in my panel tonight, Jeff Fiegels, Roman Oben. Guys, your thoughts on the Giants' ninth loss of the season. Jeff, we'll start with you.
Not very good thoughts, that's for sure. This team, you know, coming in here, they had an opportunity with the Redskins, a beat-up team. Guys on IR, they're an offensive lineman, only two starters, returning to play this game. The defense kind of stood out a little bit for the first three quarters. They got a pick six with Jackrabbit, which really put them back in the football game. But the fact is that this Giants offense just went to sleep today. And really, Roman, when you have an offense that cannot even get a first down in the second half, you got problems.
Yeah, I mean, this was a conservative game plan across the board offensively because you wanted to put on the defense. You wanted to go conservative, run the ball, try to get manageable third downs. It just wasn't happening. And this is the type of game, Jeff, I don't go to the playoffs, you don't go to the playoffs. But they just couldn't seal the deal. Redskins had their issues too, but a lot of punts. Greg Minowski defensively, as a defensive coordinator of the Redskins, did a great job. I mean, 20 yards of offense in the second half for the Giants, that's not winning football. And the bleeding continues.
All year, the big story was that opposing tight ends have had their way with the Giants' defense. But this game, the big story, no answer for Jamison Crowder. 7 catches, 141 yards, and a touchdown.
Well, you know, him coming into the game, ever since that Terrell Pryor has gone out of this lineup and Jordan Reed, Jamison Crowder has been Kirk Cousins' favorite guy and go-to guy. So you're looking around, you know, he's running free all over the place. The Giants are playing a lot of zone coverage, and he just squats down there and finds the open space. One thing about Kirk Cousins, if he gets outside of the pocket, he's going to make plays down the field, and Jamison Crowder is his guy. He just sits here and squats in the middle of the back of the end zone for a touchdown. Giants defense had no answer for him at all.
Yeah, I mean, you look in this modern age of the 6'4", 220-pound wide receiver, this guy's 5'9", 175 soaking wet, great route runner. The Redskins have done a great job with these types of guys. They had Moss, Pierre Garçon. They always have these little guys that just slip between the seams. You talk about the tight ends, the Giants having trouble with tight ends. It's really the routes, the seams, that soft spot between the linebackers and the safeties. That's what they've had problems with. But you let these guys hang around, and Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback. He's going to find this guy downfield.
Yeah, especially when he's wide open in the middle of the field. Well, 8th different offensive line combo for the Giants over the last 11 games. And the offensive line struggled this week with Ryan Kerrigan, who had 2 sacks of Eli Manning in the first half. Roman, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, there's no secret Ryan Kerrigan is a good football player. But as an offensive line, you got to just stay square at the line of scrimmage. You can't open the gate. You can't clamp. You got poor Wheeler, Chad Wheeler, undrafted rookie free agent on the right side, is fighting his tail off. But again, Kerrigan, great use of hands, great explosion off the ball. You got to the quarterback. And as a quarterback, you want to keep your quarterback upright. Mm-hmm. The tackle's responsibility is to stretch the pocket. The guards and centers have to control the depth of the pocket. That didn't happen on either side. The pocket was very, very tight for Eli Manning today.
Well, a bright spot for this Giants team, though, is their defensive line had a very good night. 6 sacks of Kirk Cousins, JPP, 11.5 career sacks against the Redskins. How did you see? How well did he perform
today?
Well,
I think if you're the Giants defense coming into this football game today, you know you were going to have plenty of opportunities to get after the quarterback because of their depleted offensive line, and the Giants certainly did that. They got a lot of pressure on Kirk Cousins, but what happens is they went to their running game in the third and fourth quarter. They were able to run the football behind that inexperienced offensive line, and as your defense, you got to do a little bit better stopping the run. And yeah, you gave up, you got some sacks, but you still did not stop the run. The Redskins were able to control the time of possession, be able to win the football game.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Redskins across the board. Look, Snacks did a good job up front. I mean, he's really the most consistent guy defensively on that whole defensive side of the football. When you can collapse a pocket from the middle of the pocket, controlling both of those A-gaps, allowing the defensive end to do the work, you got Dalvin Thompson getting a sack. I mean, the interior has really been the bright spot of this defense. You need about 11 of those guys out there today, but again, a good job getting to the quarterback. You just couldn't complete the entire game.
Roman, the Giants have struggled to get to the quarterback all season. What was the big difference tonight?
Well, you look at the decimated offensive line. No Trent Williams at left tackle. They had the same issues the Giants have had offensively, but when you're putting in new guys, those guys aren't on the same page. They haven't had the game reps. Practice is one thing, but they haven't had the game reps, the offseason reps. And so you get guys like JPP, Olivier Vernon, guys that are paid a lot of money to get to the quarterback, you're not going to be able to do that, especially on a primetime game. So it was a home game, no crowd noise. I mean, that usually is a factor. But when you're giving up those kind of sacks at home, it's really an indictment on the offensive line.
This was a very physical game from start to finish. Are you surprised at how physical it was, being as though it was coming off of a short week?
Well, that's a good point. I mean, usually, you know, you don't have many days to recover from your last game. And guys, you know, you look at the Redskins, they didn't even practice this week. So, you know, you got to know that you're going to come out. And the Giants are, you know, their defensive line is pretty tough guys. They're going to hit you in the mouth. You being that offensive line for the Washington Redskins, you had to know that was going to happen. The one thing that happened today, with they got after the quarterback, but they were able to, the linebackers, you got Dante Skinner out of the lineup. Then you had Curtis Grant go out of the lineup. Kirk Cousins saw that weakness in the middle of the field and was able to really hit the big play to Jamison Crowder, and that was the ball game.
Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of game where you could hear the hits.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Landon Collins,
yeah.
I mean, coming up, I mean, it's
and
a
he
good
played
physical
well. The defense
game.
Played really
yeah,
well,
yeah,
enough to win this game because they didn't get much support from the offense at all.
No, certainly they did not. All right. Evan Engram, the drops that he had. I mean, obviously this offense struggled. One first down in the entire first half. A couple of drops here showing on the field. What are your thoughts tonight?
Well, drops can be attributed to a lot of things. Coaches will say concentrations. The players will say they're trying to run. You know, what you don't want out of this bright young talent, you don't want him to feel like he's got to beat a team by himself. You just got to make the plays that you're supposed to make. He's a sure-handed guy. Didn't have drops coming out of college like Evidence Joku or, you know, those kind of guys would have some of those issues with drops coming out of college. No offense to the Miami guy.
No, that's right.
But in terms of the drops, it's something that he's got to fix. He's going to end the season with probably about 70 catches, probably pushing 1,000 yards. I mean, he'll walk into next year or second year as a dependable guy. But for now, he just has to make those catches that he's supposed to make, and that helps move the chains. He's still a move-the-chains guy.
Do you think that the expectations on Evan Engram now, seeing as though he is Eli Manning's go-to receiver, are too high?
Well, no expectations should be greater than whatever expectations he has for himself. And look, we'd love to see a world with Odell, Brandon Marshall, Shepard, and this guy just shreds the field down the seams by himself. That's the way the formula was supposed to be set up, but unfortunately, due to injuries, he's really got to be the whole offense, but he just can't play that way.
All right, well, we have to hit a break, and when we come back, we will hear from the head coach, Ben McAdoo. But first, Giants fans enter for a chance to win a Canon EOS 6D Mark II DSLR at Adorama.com/Giants. Adorama, the official retailer of the New York Giants. We will hear from the head coach, Ben McAdoo, coming back on the break on Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. Welcome back to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. After the game, Paul Dottino spoke to running back Wayne Gallman on the field.
Wayne, after the last month or so, this team was really grinding out the yardage, but the running game had a lot of trouble getting going tonight. What was the key factor there?
Key factor, man, was just trusting the line, making sure that you just weren't doing too much, and also just having that 1-2 to make something happen.
How difficult was it even to get the passing game going against this Redskins defense? They seem to be really fired up.
Yeah, you know, they came with a good pass rush. You know, I thought we could have exercised on some of the things that we were doing well, but at the end of the day, we just got to, you know, live up to our mistakes.
Final question. I thought field position really killed you guys during the whole course of the night. It seemed like you were always trying to go uphill.
Yeah, and, you know, that's something we got to work on. You know, it's all about field position, and, you know, we just didn't get that today.
Wayne Gallman, thanks for your time.
Thanks, sir.
Okay, guys, back to you.
Thank you very much, Paul. Guys, the running game struggling to get going in this one. Gallman had 9 carries for 37 yards. Orleans Darkwa was supposed to be the workhorse of the starter. 11 carries, 30 yards. What's the solution here?
As an offensive lineman, you know, you know, this is the era of running back by committee. And you look at Gallman, very productive guy coming out of college. He showed some burst in some games, the Tampa game. And he just... You just want to, you almost hope, can you give one guy the ball 20 times? Just figure out whatever he does. Screens, draws, the passing game, anything. There's just not a consistent formula that would make you want to keep running the ball on the sidelines if you're calling plays. And then an offensive lineman, you're saying, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. second and 9, second and 10, second and 13. Mm-hmm. So the whole dichotomy is really off in terms of that running game.
And one thing about the Giants running game, over the last 4 or 5 weeks, the Giants running game has picked up. But the one consistent factor there has been DJ Fluker. He's out of the lineup today.
Yeah.
You got John Halaputo is in there, Halaputa. And then you got Wheeler, who is a rookie. Both those guys have not played a lot of football games. That impacted the running game today.
I think what the Giants struggled most on is third downs tonight. 2 for 14 on third down. How did they fix that? Or what was the problem that you saw tonight,
well,
Roman?
You got to run the ball better. I mean, it's conservative by nature, the game plan. You lose a lot of speed that most teams want to have, at least one guy, right? Mm-hmm. Hopefully Shepard, somebody on the outside that would at least draw a safety out of the box. Now you've at least got 7, 8 running the ball. So one thing complements the other, or one thing destroys the other. So if you don't have speed on the outside, you're going to crowd the line of scrimmage. You look at the right side of the line, there are a lot of penetration on that back side. So that naturally took away the cutting lanes. So if I'm a running back and every time I get the ball, I'm seeing a Redskins jersey in the backfield, you're going to either try to stick it up the gutter, bounce it outside, and then you've got fast linebackers. So, again, it's a problem that continues to happen if you don't at least stop the penetration at the line of scrimmage.
The other problem with third downs with this team all season has been the production on first and second down.
Yeah.
So you don't get that production on first and second down, and you put yourself in third and longs. You don't have a passing game. You're giving up sacks. It doesn't work. So tonight, that's where they ran into. That defense for the Washington Redskins was crowding that line of scrimmage. They had two inexperienced linemen in there and not converting early on first and second downs. And that's what was happening with their third down conversions today.
All right, we got to head back down to FedEx Field where Paul Dottino is standing by with Dalvin Tomlinson.
Dalvin, very tough time with Samaje Perine there in the second half. He seemed to really grind out some yards on you guys. How difficult was it to stop that ball?
Great running back, but we just have to go out there and execute the game plan a little bit better.
Yet in the first half, it seemed to be going better. Was it a matter of adjustments?
Adjustments is always, you have them throughout the game. We have to make sure we adjust a little bit better next time.
Now, the quarterback pressure was outstanding. You guys had a half a dozen sacks, and you got your first pro sack on national television.
Yeah, I just got to keep pushing on the inside and just keep improving. And hopefully I get another one soon.
What is the competition like in that defensive line room? You guys have not had as many sacks as you'd like, but they sure came tonight.
Oh, yeah, we have great competition in the defensive line room. We all push each other to get better each and every week.
Dalvin Tomlinson, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, back to you.
As Paul mentioned in that interview, the quarterback pressure was outstanding tonight. They got to Kirk Cousins 6 times. What was different about this week versus previous?
Well, again, we started with the showing what's next at inside. So when you can get pressure from the inside, makes the pass rush of the defensive ends a lot easier. Mm-hmm. When you're shutting the guys down on first, second down, now you get obvious third long, third and passing situations. Mm-hmm. Now here comes the pass rush. So when this defense is healthy and they're playing well and they're getting after people, you don't know who's going to be hot. And that's what happens. You get 5, 6 sacks, and you don't know where they're coming from. So it was a good job today by the defensive line.
And the defensive line, they played as a unit today. They had a lot of pressure. They had a lot of point of attack. They were winning the physical battle in the middle. And one thing that they did, they kept Kirk Cousins in the pocket and forced him to stay in there. And you saw some of the sacks that they got tonight where guys were just collapsing the pocket and then just able to just jump right on Kirk Cousins. If you let him get out of the pocket, see what happens. He hit Jamison Crowder for big plays down the middle of the field and, of course, the touchdown.
And let's not discount, some of them were covered sacks too. Kirk Cousins couldn't find anybody downfield.
Yeah.
So the DBs were doing a good job allowing that pocket to get collapsed as well.
Took the words out of my mouth. We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about a great defensive effort without talking about the secondaries, the Janoris Jenkins and Landis Collins, but we will talk about that after the break. We will get to head coach Ben McAdoo, but first, the guest of our postgame show received a gift certificate to Ben and Jack's located on 5th Avenue and 28th Street in Manhattan. From the celebrated porterhouse to the finest seafood, Ben and Jack's will surpass your expectations of what a steakhouse should be. Coach is coming up at the podium. We will hear from Ben McAdoo when we return on Giants Postgame Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. Welcome back to Giants Postgame Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. Reacting after the Giants' 20-10 loss to the Redskins on Thanksgiving night. And with that, we bring in Paul Dottino and Howard Cross, who are outside the locker room at FedEx Field. Guys, I want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving, first of all, and take it away.
To you and the rest of the gang as well, and all of our viewers out there. Courtney, thank you so much. And Howard, I really think one of the huge factors, and it won't show up in the box score, is the fact that the Giants only started one of their possessions outside their own 30 one time all night. Field position really killed them.
Field position was incredibly bad for the Giants. I think the punting game for special teams for Redskins was incredible. They kept kicking the ball inside the 5, not just inside the 20, and that's when you're starting out and you're struggling on your offense. That's the hardest thing to overcome. Finding plays and finding ways to, you know, to get something positive going.
And then, of course, the Giants did not help themselves. 5, 6, you count them, depending upon how you wanted to rate them. The drops were certainly an epidemic tonight.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, you know, they were looking for and leaning on the tight end a little bit tonight, and he didn't come up big for them. He dropped a few passes and balls he definitely should have had, and he knows he should have had them. And the problem is when you drop the ball and you're struggling on offense, bad things start to happen for you, and that was part of the field position problem. Drop balls are not happening for him. Another player that was causing that a little bit was Eli. Eli missed Vereen one time going into the end zone. He catches that ball, gets that ball to him right there. That might be 6 points.
Yeah, so the Giants, unfortunately, in somewhat of a self-destructive mode, just did not do anything to help their own cause. Now, one guy who actually did, though, Wayne Gallman ran the ball very hard. You kept telling me every time he got the ball, Howard, you liked the way he was trying to push the pile. But again, the Giants just couldn't get anything sustained. The offensive line wasn't as solid as it needed to be.
Well, you know, you're changing guys that many times around. It's kind of hard to get it done, right? So you have to understand that when you keep bringing guys in and out, it's a little bit tougher.
All right, Howard, we'll be back with more from D.C. in just a bit. Right now, let's go to Coach Ben McAdoo.
All right, I thought we played hard. We had plenty of opportunities, especially in the first half on offense. We didn't capitalize on the opportunities. Give Washington credit, they beat us today.
What did you think of your offense overall?
Wasn't very good.
What led to the decision to make Eli Apple inactive?
Eli missed a lot of time last week with practice in the ball game, and it was a short week without any speed. That was the reason for it this week.
So this is not a disciplinary measure.
I just gave you my reason.
Ben, do you think the offensive line took a step back? It seemed like Eli really, the pocket was collapsing around.
I think early in the ball game we had some opportunities where we dropped some balls. Could have been a big play, had a first down, could have completed the ball. We missed a throw early. I think all that stuff catches up with you when you have to drop back and you don't get to drop back on your own terms. There were some times when we were physical in the ball game running the football, but certainly too many hits on the quarterback, but there's plenty to go around.
With as challenged as you guys are with the injuries and all the things that are going on, when you got Ingram dropping 3 balls and little things like that kind of add up, you know what? You can't overcome that stuff. Is that what do you?
Yeah, our margin for error is small with the way things are right now, and we know that going in. That doesn't mean we can't press. We can't go out there and press. Evan looked like a rookie playing on a short week tonight. And he needs to get that out of his system. He needs to learn from it, and I'm confident that he will learn from it and move on.
What did you say to him after? Did you say anything to him at any point after the drops?
We had a couple conversations, yes.
What do you say to a young guy like that who's obviously having trouble catching the ball?
Yeah, especially after the first one, you just got to flush it, move on to the next one. At some point in time, you have to reset mentally. That's the big part of it.
Yeah, another new pairing on the right side of the line with Chad Wheeler and John Palacio. How do you think they work together today?
Again, our offense, we have a long way to go. We didn't play well tonight. I need to go look at the film.
And it looked like Cockrell struggled a lot on a couple of defensive penalties and looked like he could beat him on the winning touchdown. What did you see?
Again, I'll have to go take a look at the tape. I know a couple times he got beat inside when he should have had inside leverage. I thought he was in decent position on the go route. He got the PI on the PI penalty. I just think he needs to stay the course there instead of reaching out and grabbing the receiver. But again, I want to look at the tape before I make any comments there.
I know Eli was under pressure most of the game, but is it frustrating when he misses that throw to Vereen, which could have gone for a touchdown?
Yeah, that's a throw and catch we have to have. It should have been a touchdown. Talking about the one in the red zone? Yeah, I had it.
You had talked earlier in the year about not wanting your team to get numb with these losses. Do you have to guard against that in a situation like this now?
I think we played the game hard and physical today. That was a hard-fought football game. It was close. We had our opportunities and didn't come through in the end.
With so many injuries to the linebacking group, how do you think guys stepped up tonight?
I thought we communicated well. We got lined up well. We had some DBs in and out. We had some linebackers in and out, but they didn't blink on defense, kept playing hard, kept playing physical. Needed to do a better job against the run at the end of the ball game, but we'll clean that up.
How frustrating is it for you, the offensive struggles as a whole? I mean, this is pretty much most of the season, even dating back to the last season. Do you consider that?
We were making progress in the run game. I'm not frustrated. We were making progress in the run game up until this week. We need to run the ball better. That's where it starts, and we didn't do that tonight.
What do you think the issue was with the run game tonight?
I'm going to have to go back and take a look at the film. Thank you.
Well, you heard head coach Ben McAdoo describing this offense as not very good, having a very long way to go. First half, a lot of missed opportunities. And my question to you, Jeff, is what hurt the Giants more tonight? Was it not moving the chains or not catching the ball? A lot of drop passes.
Well, I think both of those hurt the Giants tremendously. And I think they kind of go one and the other. Is that if you're not catching passes and you're dropping passes, you're not going to move those chains. And really what happens is when you're dropping passes, you're killing momentum. You know, the Giants offense is a very rhythmic offense. They like to get things going. And when you're on second and third down and you're dropping passes and then they have to punt the football, you get out of rhythm and you cannot move the chains for first downs. Two first downs out of 14 tries, is just not going to be good enough on third down.
Yeah, I think one thing that resonated for me was when Coach McAdoo said that there's a small margin for error. And that was evidenced by the third and three when Eli Manning missed Shane Vereen. I mean, that's a walk in the end zone. Mm-hmm.
So 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, so a team that's trying to win games, that's trying to fight for their identity, and it's almost, let's just say it's December, you've got to make those type of plays. Coach McAdoo also talked about dropping back and pass when you want to. That means dictating. That means better first and second down production. That means third and second, third and short. You look at the missed pass. I mean, that's something a two-win football team can't do. You're playing a divisional game. No matter what the record is, it's a divisional opponent. You know, you want to knock those guys out of contention. You want to win this game. It's a short week for both teams. Giants and the Redskins, the third and fourth most injured team in the league. I think that was a graph was shown earlier during the game.
Might be first and second after tonight.
Yeah, exactly. But, again, it's unfortunate, the misplays, the missed opportunities. As soon as you see some success, some momentum, penalty, a sack, a drop ball, you know, punting the ball. They kept punting the ball from the back of their own end zone almost, it seemed like, the entire game. So
yeah, the Rockets,
everything kind of helped.
They had horrible, and Paul had mentioned it, they had horrible field position.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you can't get – when you're getting to start your drive outside the 31-yard there on your own 31, that's a lot of trouble.
Right.
All right, we have to take a quick break here on Giants Postgame Live. When we return, we will hear from the quarterback, Eli Manning, and his thoughts from FedEx Field after the Giants lose 20-10. This is Giants Postgame Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. Thank you for staying up late with us on Giants Postgame Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. On a late Thursday night, we have not fallen victim to the turkey tryptophan sleep disease. We are here to talk about the Giants 20-10 loss to the Redskins. There was a drive in the first half where the Giants scored their only field goal in the first half, rather. 16 plays, 60 yards, but they had most of their third down conversions and a fourth down conversion. Figs, I think that was a drive that you pointed out that was very positive.
Absolutely. So, you know, the Giants are getting off. It's a 0-0 ball game. They come out here. They have a 16-play drive, 60 yards. They go down for the field goal. And, you know, this is the start of a good, you know, they had punted the first three possessions, didn't make a field goal or a first down going into that. But this drive here just goes to show you that the Giants got a little something going on. They convert a third down play right there to Roger Lewis. And then Eli Manning starts to get things going. The running game is going. They head down the field. Wasn't able to punch it in the end zone. But the fact is that the Giants had an opportunity, if they could just keep playing like this and sustaining some of these drives. And we talked about earlier in the broadcast about getting those first downs on third down, converting some of those. They did it here on this play, and they started to check down a little bit to Wayne Gallman. One thing about Wayne Gallman, he's a young kid. He's actually a really nice player. Not only can he catch the football out of the backfield, he is a tremendous blocker, and he's just a young guy that's going to get better and better in that offense. But, you know, if the Giants could have put a little bit more effort, if I will, I don't want to use that word badly, but I tell you that there wasn't much effort more than after this drive, because Giants only scored, you know, they got a touchdown on the defensive side of the ball. They did not get a touchdown on the offensive side.
Well, one of the positives as well in the first half, the Redskins at one point had 3 yards rushing. I think they finished under 10 for the first half. And Damon Snacks Harrison was a big reason for that, Roman.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the injuries of the linebacker position, the linebacker carousel, if you will. Snacks Harrison has been really a mainstay in that A-gap. You talk about how disruptive he is. You could call him breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever you want to call him, because he eats up those A-gaps too. Can't move the ball inside. You get him a little bit. I like how he lines up a little off the ball, so he gets a little momentum, so he can collapse his pocket. I mean, he's a center's nightmare, and I think that's why I'm glad I played on the outside. I couldn't play guard against a guy like that. Reminds you of Tony Siragusa, Sam Adams, you know, guys like that, just tough nose, you know, plugging, you know, run stuffers, give you a little bit in the pass. Again, he's been a bright spot in this defense.
Something that we haven't mentioned tonight was that linebacker Curtis Grant was carted off in the first quarter with a knee injury. Our thoughts are out with him. And then they were really thin at linebacker because Dante Skinner was out as well. Calvin Munson inactive going into this game. Is this going to be a problem going forward for the Giants?
Well, the one good thing about the Thursday game, whether it's on Thanksgiving or not, is you're going to be able to get your 10 days to the next game. So, you know, a lot of these guys are going to have to heal up quickly. They have a little bit more time than normally. So, you know, but it has been a problem all season. B.J. Goodson has gone out of the lineup. He was really good at the beginning of the season, has not been able to get back into the lineup. So you got Munson, who comes in here, who is a rookie free agent, calling plays for the New York Giants, and then you got guys coming off the street. So this continues to be a problem. They got to get healthy, Roman. They really do.
Yeah. And it puts a lot of pressure on that defensive coaching staff. I mean, Spags is a great coach, but you want your starters in. You want the guys that you started the season with. When you got to start rotating guys, you really got to stretch your capacity in terms of what you can do. And then you got to limit your play calling. Mm-hmm. You got to keep everything basic because these guys really don't know the full capacity of the game plan.
All right, we got plenty more here to talk about on Giants Post Game Live. We got Eli Manning coming after the break, and we will also reveal to you the Giants' toughest player. Presented by the Hess Toy Truck. Giants lose 20-10 in Washington. You're watching Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. Stay with us. Welcome back to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. It's time to announce today's toughest player of the game, driven by the Hess Toy Truck. And our toughest player of the day is Jason Pierre-Paul. 3 tackles, 2 sacks, 2 quarterback hits, and 1 pass breakup for Jason Pierre-Paul. And now we will bring in Paul Dottino and Howard Cross.
Well, thanks much again, Courtney. And, you know, in talking about this game, Howard and I were very impressed with what rookie Samaje Perine did, especially in the second half. He grinded out 100 yards for the night, but the bulk of them came late in the third quarter and in the fourth quarter. And quite frankly, Howard, every time he tackled, or should I say people tried to tackle him, it was a major collision.
Yeah, it was definitely a major collision. But once Grant and Skinner went out of the game, his production picked up, and that was in the second half. So that's the big part of his thing. That's probably the big part of his story, too. You got guys coming into the game now trying to, you know, fit into the defense. That helps him get some extra running yards.
All right, now the Giants' pass rush was another of the good spots for the Giants. 6 sacks, we talked about that before. 2 from JPP, he led the way. But, Howard, it was obvious what you saw on the field and what we talked about before the program is that the big guys were getting the push to let the other guys clean it up.
Yeah, the offensive line for the Redskins was struggling because they had a lot of replacement players in there. So to push up the middle, you see Snacks in there. So as you even saw Tomlinson get his first sack of the year from the middle. Once you step up in the middle, you know, Cousins has nowhere to go, and then the outside closes in on him, and that's what happened over and over again. They even had a sack that was called back on a pass interference or a holding call, but they would have had 7 sacks tonight.
So we talk about the pass rush, and what do you have to do next? You have to talk about the secondary. Now, we know that Janoris Jenkins was beat by Dotson with about 4 minutes to go for the go-ahead score. That was a very good throw by Cousins. But Jack Rabbit did have a pick six, his second of the season, seventh of his career, and he's got 16 total interceptions in his career, which tells you he likes to make big plays.
He definitely likes to make big plays. He did a great job. Ball was tipped, the classic tip drill. He catches the ball, runs it all the way back for a touchdown. He got a little banged up on a play with his ankle, but he came back in the game again and continued to play hard. So, you know, you got to like that play. The other person you want to talk about in the secondary, Landon Collins, had a lot of tackles. When you're making that many tackles, that many plays, guys get a little nervous out there when you're running around.
That's the second week in a row. You know, they said that the last week he had 15, and then he was named NFC Defensive Player of the Week, third time in the last 2 years, and then backs it up with 14 tonight. And there were a couple of solos that he made that, I mean, it looked like he was a Mack truck knocking down those ball carriers.
You know, the rumor is that Landon saw that film that the coach showed, and he did not like himself being on that film as players that were not making plays. So after that, he started making plays.
Good stuff, Howard. Let's send it inside where Giants quarterback Eli Manning is addressing the media.
How frustrating was that tonight? Just couldn't seem to get anything going offensively.
Yeah, you know, they did a good job. Kept us, did a good job on third down. You know, we just couldn't quite get things going. We're backed up a bunch, but we just didn't, you know, we didn't make plays. I think everybody, missed some plays that we needed to make and just couldn't get much going.
What happened on that third goal play, third down in the red zone play to Vereen?
Yeah, just, you know, I got to hit Shane on that. So just kind of a screen trying to pop him out of the backfield, and thought I had to throw a little bit sooner than I wanted to and try to kind of float it up there for him where he can maybe adjust and get to it, but just put a little bit too much on it, but we got to hit that one.
Yeah, another new combination on the right side of the offensive line in Chad and John Huapio. How do you think they responded tonight?
I think they competed and going against some good players but I thought they hung in there, competed, and we just did fine.
You were under a little bit more duress than many other games. Did you kind of, was it hard to really get anything going consistently because of the pressure?
Well, we just never got in great rhythm. So, we needed to have some longer drives. It was just kind of first down, second down, third down. We just weren't able to, get some drives and slow down that pass rush and they did a good job. They got some good players, and we had to hold it a little bit sometimes. They were able to get some pressure. So, we just needed to do a better job of combination of everybody. I had to hit some throws. Guys had to win some. Guys had to make some catches. Each play kind of had its own reason for not being successful.
It's another tough night for Evan Engram. What do you say to a rookie going through a tough stretch like he has over these past two games?
Well, you just got to keep fighting. You get kind of the second half of the season, and these rookies can get long for them. So you just got to keep grinding and make sure you're focused. But we need him to make some plays for us.
Eli, Sterling's migraines kind of came out of nowhere. He has like a career high game, and then now he misses two. How much different is it for you when he's not out there? I mean, I know he's a good player, but.
Yeah, he's one of our go-to guys and has some experience and playmaker. And so, I thought he was going to give it a shot today. I kind of went through some little chair drill this morning and was in there and then, got word that he wasn't going to go. So, obviously, got to get him healthy and make sure he's fine. Anything, dealing with the head is scary. So, we definitely miss him.
That was the quarterback, Eli Manning, speaking at the podium to the media just a few minutes ago. Guys, you've both been on losing franchises, losing teams. If you're Eli Manning, what do you say to your team to keep them motivated, especially when you have stats like 55 plays, 170 yards? I mean, you're splitting offense, the passing game and the running game under 100. I mean, what do you say to your team to keep them motivated?
You've got to continue to lead. You have to mentor a young rookie tight end who's had some drops. You've got to continue to mentor these receivers on the outside. You see some successes, but you see some drops, some of those things. And you've got an offensive line in front of you that any one of two or three parts could change every week. So, I mean, these are things you have to keep leading. And we've seen the Super Bowls. We've seen the highs. of Eli Manning. We've seen the highs of this team, this organization, but this is a low point right now. And again, trying to establish your identity, trying to get your third win, and it's almost December, is not where anyone thought this team would be. Not but if you're the quarterback, you've got the right people in place at certain key parts, and it starts with Eli Manning and the quarterback.
One thing that's tough for Eli Manning is this, you know, he is a leader in the locker room. He's not a vocal leader at a lot of times, but he's got it there. There's a bunch of rookies that he has to try to help these guys play, but they have to play better themselves. I mean, Eli Manning can't be on the field constantly trying to teach these guys what to do. But, you know, when you come in with a very conservative game plan like they did today, and that they couldn't handle the outside rush that they had, you know, with that offensive line today, it just put Eli Manning in a very tough position. Now, he has to make some better throws, but the receivers got to make some better catches. They got to hang on to the football, and they got to run the football.
All right, we got to take a quick break here on Giants Post Game Live. We'll be right back on MSG Network following the Giants' ninth loss of the season, 20-10 against their division rivals, the Washington Redskins. Welcome back to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. Right now, let's head back down to Landover, Maryland, where a few moments ago, Jason Pierre-Paul just spoke to the media.
It's been a frustrating season.
What you think?
I think so.
Yeah, it is what it is, you know. Next question. That's it?
How frustrating is it, though? Down with you? It doesn't matter what I say. How frustrating is it for you?
I'm pretty sure everybody's frustrated right now, but, you know, it's football. You know, you win some, you lose some.
Do you think the pass rush had it going tonight? You had several sacks, seemed to be.
We didn't get the job done, though.
Anything technical that was going on with the run defense in the second half?
I don't know. I don't pay attention to offense. I pay attention to defense.
Your run defense.
What was wrong with our run defense?
No, in the first half, you had them completely shut down. They kind of got things going a little bit in the second half.
It's football. People make mistakes. Mm-hmm. You know?
I guess when Norris had that interception and you kind of feel maybe that was what you guys needed to...
Oh, boy, a very visibly frustrated JPP talking to the media. Didn't really want to answer any questions, but... Hey, it was a very physical game. They played very well on defense. So what are your thoughts on how JPP played tonight?
Well, I thought he played well. I thought the whole defensive line played well. And you see the frustration out of JPP because, you know, when you're on a team that's only won two games all season and your offense does what they did today, I think you see a little bit more frustration on his mind. And he's not going to tell you that, but I'm going to tell you that because their defense played really enough to win the game. Their offense just didn't do enough to win the game.
And he was our Hess Toy Truck toughest player of the game. Let's head to two more tough players down in the locker room in Landover, Maryland, Landon Collins and Jack Rabbit.
For one, I'll never worry about what people say about me. I just come out and play football. And every time I get my hands on the ball, I feel like I can make a play.
Is it hard when your offense, you see it struggling? I mean, you guys sure know it's struggling.
You got to understand, it's football. Offense do what they do. We can't worry about what they do. We just got to come out as a defense and do what we do. Coach tell us all the time, don't look at the scoreboard. Don't focus on the scoreboard. Just come out and play hard-nosed football. And then we just move forward.
How much do you feel like you have to put up points, though, knowing that they're not putting up points? You see the results.
We never go in the game knowing that we have to put up points. It's all about doing what we got to do on the defensive end, defensive side of the ball, and just maintaining that.
Even into this game, on a short week, having to travel, on one hand, you guys had picked up some steam from the last win, but on the other hand, you did have to be kind of the away team on a short week. Like, what was the mindset even just from what you could see from the start?
We had a good mindset. I think everybody was positive. They was excited. I think the most thing, everybody was worried about how slow they are. But, I mean, when you get on the field, you all let go out the window. You just really just got out there playing ball. So most of the guys, it was just... It's ready to play. The mindset was come in here, play our best game, and try to get this W.
And as the adversity was kind of continuing throughout the game, as you kind of see, like, the offense is taking its time, and then there's some lapses, defensively. Like, how do you honestly think the team was handling that and enduring that through the game?
Defensive-wise, I mean, I feel like we was fighting that adversity. We was playing our best ball. trying to make plays, trying to get the ball back as fast as to our offense, as quick as possible, try to play the field position at that too. So, I mean, at the same time, I mean, we was trying to do a lot and just trying to make a change in our offense to make plays.
It has been an up-and-down year for the Giants' secondary and those cornerbacks, but since the last 2 weeks, since that in-locker room gut check from head coach Ben McAdoo, they have responded, and especially Janoris Jenkins. Roman, what did you think of this touchdown? I mean, pick six, his second consecutive in a row. Janoris Jenkins had a day.
Well, good things will happen to you when you're around the ball, when you're hustling, when you're flying down the field, and this is an Carl Banks would call this an opportunistic moment for a cornerback who's in the right place at the right time. But again, you know, a lot of questions being asked in the locker room about the frustration, about where they are. You've got to continue to have plays like this, especially in lieu of the fact that offense isn't exactly, you know, putting up 4 or 5 touchdowns a week. This is still a defensive-led team. Defense has to put themselves in a position to give the ball back to the offense on a short field. Or if you can create a touchdown, I mean, the percentage of winning is a lot higher when defense can score a touchdown. But again, this team needs these types of plays, and they need the best out of Jackrabbit and Collins.
And Jackrabbit and Collins both played their tails off in the last 2 weeks. All right, we have to hit our final break. Our final thoughts coming up on Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. If you missed any part of Giants Post Game Live and you want to watch it tonight, tomorrow, you have 2 more chances. Tonight at 1 and 3 a.m. and 4 more times this show will re-air tomorrow. Well, guys, moving forward, the New York Giants' next opponent, they have another road game. They will be heading to Oakland to play the Oakland Raiders. Now, the Raiders just coming off of a beatdown by the hands of the New England Patriots in Mexico City. Derek Carr is beat up. Marshawn Lynch, that's still going to be a tough matchup against this Giants run defense. Robert.
Yeah, the Raiders are a tough physical team. They've got a big, humongous offensive line. They're kind of built like the 90s Cowboys. Haven't had that success, same success, obviously, mm-hmm. but it's going to be a challenge. You're on the road, now you're going west, and they've got to keep swinging. They've got to keep chopping wood and keep doing the same things that put them in a good position to win.
Yeah, and this team, they got to get healthy. You know, they're going to get 10 days off before they have to come and play this next game. So, you know, a lot of guys got to get in that training room. And as Coach McAdoo would say, you know, get in there and watch some tape and get ready for a tough opponent. You know, that's a tough place to go when you go that far across the country and go play a team, tough, tough Raiders team.
Guys, your final thoughts on this 20-10 loss to the Washington Redskins?
I got a lot of work to do offensively. I think the defense, if they can continue to keep playing the way they are, you know, they're going to keep them in some games.
Yeah, this is a game they could have won and at least put themselves in a better position from a confidence standpoint. Yeah. But 5 games ago, what will be the mark of this team and how they respond next week?
Yeah, Ben McAdoo saying there is still a lot of work to do on this offense. Hopefully they can get it done next week against the Oakland Raiders on the road. You can catch all of it.